Again, it's very nice to see such a goodly number gathered for the preaching of the gospel. I'd like to read three scriptures, please. First of all, from the Gospel of Luke and chapter 7. Luke's Gospel and chapter 7. And we're going to read at verse number 36. And one of the Pharisees desired him, that is the Lord Jesus, that he would eat with him. And he went into the Pharisee's house, and he sat down to meat. And behold, a woman in the city, which was a sinner, when she knew that Jesus sat at meat in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster box of ointment, and stood at his feet behind him weeping, and began to wash his feet with tears, and did wipe them with the hairs of her head, and kissed his feet, and anointed them with the ointment. Now when the Pharisee which had bid him saw it, he spake within himself, saying, This man, if he were a prophet, would have known who and what manner of woman this is that toucheth him, for she is a sinner. And Jesus answering said unto him, Simon, I have somewhat to say unto thee. And he said, Master, say on. There was a certain creditor which had two debtors, the one owed 500 pence and the other 50. And when they had nothing to pay, he frankly forgave them both. Tell me, therefore, which of them will love him most? Simon answered and said, I suppose that he to whom he forgave most. And he said unto him, Thou hast rightly judged. And he turned to the woman and said unto Simon, Seest thou this woman? I entered into thine house, but thou gavest me no water for my feet. But she hath washed my feet with tears, and wiped them with the hairs of her head. Thou gavest me no kiss. But this woman, since the time I came in, hath not ceased to kiss my feet. My head with oil thou didst not anoint, but this woman hath anointed my feet with ointment. Wherefore I say unto thee, her sins, which are many, are forgiven, for she loved much, but to whom little is forgiven, the same loveth little. And he said unto her, Thy sins are forgiven. And they that sat at meat with him began to say within themselves, Who is this that forgiveth sins also? And he said to the woman, Thy faith hath saved thee, go in peace. Now over to John's Gospel in chapter 19 for a couple of verses. John chapter 19. And we read at verse number 17. And he, the Lord Jesus, bearing his cross, went forth into a place called the place of a skull, which is called in the Hebrew Golgotha, where they crucified him, and two other with him, on either side one, and Jesus in the midst. Verse number 30. When Jesus therefore had received the vinegar, he said, It is finished. And he bowed his head and gave up the ghost. Now we'll go over to the closing chapter of our Bible, the book of Revelation. And chapter 22, we just want to lift out really an expression, but we'll read the verse. Revelation chapter 22, and we're going to read at verse number 5. And there shall be no night there, and they need no candle, neither light of the sun, for the Lord God giveth them light, and they shall reign forever and ever. Now I trust that God will bless to us the reading of his word. There's one thing I'm very conscious of tonight. It has been a busy day and it has been a long day. And I'm sure there are many in the meeting that are weary. And I trust that God will enable you to, for the next hour or so, in the will of the Lord, to listen to the great message of the gospel. Now today we have been considering textual problems. We have been looking at the Greek. And we have been considering many different issues that are a little bit maybe beyond even me, and it was a good day. And you had much to listen to. But you know, if I were to ask some of you tonight who have sat in the last 6 hours listening to the ministry and to the Bible study to come up here and relay the last 6 hours that you have heard at this conference, I just wonder how long it would take you to tell me what has been said throughout the day. And the answer will come back. We as creatures, as individuals, we really retain very, very little of what has been said. So tonight at the opening part of the meeting,
I want to leave with you three words.
That's all I'm going to leave with you in this gospel meeting. Three words. And I trust that the Spirit of God will impress them upon your mind and your heart. And perhaps, when you do get home, those three words will still be instilled in your mind. And God may use them for your blessing and salvation. The three words, the first word we're going to consider is the words of the Lord Jesus in Luke chapter 7. Forgiven. Forgiven. I want to say tonight that that is the greatest word that a man or a woman or a boy and girl can know personally on the journey of life, to be forgiven of their sins. Forgiven. I'll just stop a little moment now before I move on. Is everyone in this meeting tonight forgiven? Are you forgiven? Do you know your sins forgiven? Or is it possible I'm looking down into the faces of boys and girls and men and women, and tonight you know nothing about what it is to be forgiven? The second word I'm going to look at is from the Gospel of John, chapter 19 and verse 30. The word is finished. We have read that the words of our Lord Jesus upon the cross when he's cried, "It is finished." There's only one word. Finished. I want to, tonight, for boys and girls to consider the greatest work that you will ever consider in your mind on the journey of life is the tremendous work that the Savior undertook at the cross. That work was immense. That work was vast. When that blessed man hung upon that tree for 6 hours, an answer to God for sin in all his totality, and in triumph as the darkness passed, he could lift his voice heavenward and say, "Finished." So I want you to think of the greatest words that a mortal upon earth can rejoice in, forgiven. The greatest work that can be considered the work of the Savior of the cross, a finished work. And then that word at the close where we read in the book of Revelation and chapter 22, at times it used to bury deep in my mind and my heart as a boy, growing up in the north of Ireland and listening to the gospel night by night. What have we read there in the book of Revelation and 22 and verse 5? Forever. Forever. Mind you, what a word. As I look down into the faces of boys and girls and men and women, just remember this. You are going to be somewhere forever, beyond life's little journey, beyond the 70 or 80 years upon earth. You and I are destined for the great eternity. And I think these words are the most wonderful. They're just full of the greatest wonder that it is possible for boys and girls and men and women to have this tremendous prospect of reigning with Christ forever and ever. Mind you, what a wonder to think that God can lift poor sinners defiled by sin and give us a place in the everlasting kingdom of our Lord Jesus, and sure, in that great eternity, to reign with him forever and ever. Forgiven. Finished. And forever. I trust that God will impress them upon your mind. Now, I'm not in a Bible reading, but if I was, you know, were this great subject of forgiveness come up in a Bible reading, I'd be asking the dear brethren just to give me a definition of what it is forgiveness. What does it really mean? To be forgiven. I wonder what they would say. I would say there could be a few scratching their heads. And they'll just wonder, what really can we define this wonderful blessing of forgiveness? Forgiven. Well, I think we have a great illustration of that. Away back in the Old Testament, in the book of Leviticus, in chapter 16, though, in the history of the nation of Israel, there was a great day of atonement. And there was a moment when the priest moved forward and he laid his hands upon a live goat, and he confessed all the sins of the nation, and he placed them upon the head of that goat, that live goat, And he was, that goat then was taken by the hand of a strong man, and he was just led away out into a land of no habitation. What was it? Forgiven. Sins were taken away. Oh, is it any wonder that the psalmist, as he thought of the wonder of forgiveness, he says, as far as the east is from the west, so far hath God removed our iniquities from us. You know, in this gospel meeting tonight, there's a God in heaven who wants to forgive you the great problem of sin. We've all got it. You know, I look back in my life and I'm ashamed. I was born in a Christian home. I was the third in a family of four boys. I was taken along to gospel meetings about 45 weeks a year, perhaps for about 12, 14 years. But I had a tremendous problem. And that problem was an awful sinful nature within. And I wasn't too long on the journey of life until I commenced to sin. Commenced to sin against my parents. I sinned against my classmates at school. I sinned when it came to employment. And throughout my day, I sinned. And I want to say this with shame. Those sins became great and became mighty. And if you just knew what Wesley Barr was known as in the countryside where he lived, I would be ashamed to tell you tonight, the awful problem of sin. And so as I look down into the faces of boys and girls tonight, I want to remind you, no difference, says God, all have sinned and come short of his glory. And as in a water face answereth to face, so the heart of man to man. And you and I have got this great problem of sin. Sin that is separated between us and God. Sin that is being accounted for by God. The psalmist would remind us concerning God, these things hast thou done, I kept silent. Thou thoughtest I was altogether such an one as thyself, but he says, I will reprove thee, and I'll set them in order before thine eyes. And as we move on this long journey of our little lives down here, there's one thing, you and I have sinned, and there's a God who's taken record of every sin. Boys and girls, tonight in this gospel meeting, God knows you through and through. He knows the sins that have been committed of this day. He knows the sins of our life. But in this wonderful chapter, I'm reminded of heaven's great interest and the great purpose as to why Christ came from those ivory palaces into this world of woe. What did he come to do? To lay down a righteous basis whereby boys and girls and men and women could know their sins forgiven. Oh, the wonders of his love. To see him coming from above to atone and die for thee. Praise him cheerfully. And he left the courts of glory one day. He's born out of the Virgin in Bethlehem. He grew up to live that spotless life. And here we see him in the house of Simon the Pharisee. And he can tell, it must have been a wonderful word when he said to Simon concerning that dear woman that he looked down on. Oh, he looked at her. Oh, he says, you know, she's a sinner far above me. I'm not like her. And she has sinned much. And he heard the words of the Lord Jesus. Simon, her sins which are many are forgiven. And then the Lord looked into the face of that dear woman who had come into that home appreciating the Christ of God who had come. The one who was in her midst. And she's got a devotion, heart, and affection towards this person. And she hears those beautiful words. Your sins, thy sins are forgiven. Wonder tonight in this gospel meeting, what about your sins? Are they forgiven? If this were to be the last night on earth for some of you boys and girls and men and women, and ere the sun would rise tomorrow morning, you'll leave Kamloops and you'll leave it for the great eternity. I want to ask you tonight, do you know anything of sins forgiven? We have been reminded this in the Bible reading today. This is life eternal, that they may know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom thou hast sent. And the great problem is sin that is separated.
The sin that is keeping us away from God.
But in wondrous love, the Father has sent the Son. And he has come from the heights of glory. And he has come down to this world. And the great purpose of it all is this: to bring you forgiveness of your sins.
You know, God would remind us, in the writer to the Hebrews, he would remind us in chapter 8 and verse number 12 of one of the great wonders of God and what he desires to do in relation to the forgiveness of our sins. And these beautiful words are recorded: their sins and iniquities I will remember no more forever.
That's what God wants to do for the sinner tonight. The great truth of forgiven. But I want you to come now to John 19. We're going to consider for a little moment this tremendous event of our world's history, of a day when early in the morning the blessed Son of God was led outside the city walls of Jerusalem, and he went out to Skull Hill, and he went out to Golgotha, and he was impaled upon a cross. That is one of the greatest days that the human mind can contemplate. It was a day that God looked forward to from all the days of eternity. A day when his Son would be taken by wicked hands, would be led outside the city wall with a body bathed in blood, would be led outside the city wall with a cross of wood upon his back, rejected by men, disowned by our world, and he's going to be impaled upon a cross. And men took him there. And they nailed him there. And sitting down, they would watch him there. And they would look upon that lovely man. And they would hear those words from the cross: Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. And they sat in their mockery and in their shame. And they heaped upon him as they gathered around the cross. But mind you, beyond the thoughts of men, and beyond what man could comprehend, that day when the Savior hung upon the cross, the moment came when, after hanging for those 6 hours upon the cross, that there was a voice raised to heaven and a word was uttered. They tell us in the Greek language just one word: Telestai, finished. I wonder what the people around the cross thought that moment when they heard this blessed man lift his voice in triumph, not in weakness, lift his voice in triumph to heaven. Sound that wonderful word, finished. Says somebody, what was finished? Was Christ finished? No, he wasn't finished. He bowed his head, he dismissed his spirit, he was laid low in the tomb, but he rose again the third day, and he ascended 40 days later into heaven. But what was finished? It was the great work of Christ on behalf of sinful man for his sake. The great work of the cross. Mind you, it is a wonder when we stop to consider the greatness of the cross work of Christ. I'm always impressed when I read Paul's letter to the Colossians and chapter 2. For Paul there, of the wonderful chapter, he just deals with every aspect of human sin. And he goes through it step by step. And he says the great antidote to all our problems is just what Christ accomplished when he hung and suffered on dark Calvary. And so he will speak to us in chapter 2 of Colossians, and he'll remind us we were dead in our sins. He'll remind us of the awful spiritual deadness that marks us. He will remind us in that chapter of the sins of the flesh. He will remind us of our defilement and our uncleanness. And he will remind us of our trespasses. So we look at the awful defilement. Oh, we're not too long in this old world to defilement marks us. We're not too long till we trespass. We go beyond the boundaries. We're not too long in this old world till we just manifest a deadness to God. And then he takes a little look further down the chapter, and he tells us in verse 14, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, contrary to us,
took it out of the way, nailed it to his cross, spoiled principalities and powers, and he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them on the cross. What is this? This is just the awful domain of Satan that boys and girls are held in. And says the apostle, take a look at yourself tonight, you dear. These were Christians. And they could look back at life, and they could remember what was prominent in their life. If it was their deadness to God, if it was their awful defilement, or if it was just those sins of disobedience, or if it was the awful domain that many's a boy and girl and teenager are held in tonight, the awful powers of darkness, says Paul, when Christ upon that cross suffered what tongue will never tell, answering to God for sin upon the tree, he settled the sin question. He answered to God for every iota of human failure, guilt, and sin. And upon that cross, he settled the sin question in all its fullness, once and for all. And when he cried, finished, he meant it. The work was complete. They tell me that's the word they used in the old Greek world when they were doing business. And when the business deal was sealed, the word written over the document was telestai, finished. Complete. Nothing more can be added to it. Nothing can be taken away. Well, yonder at the cross, dear soul, when the Savior cried, it is finished, the full payment was made for the guilt of mankind, for the sins of the whole world. And those 6 hours with all its mystery and all its wonder, when they passed, there was not one iota that was left unpaid by the Savior to answer for human guilt. Sin. Oh, the wonder of it. The greatest work that a boy or girl or man and woman could consider is just the wonder of Calvary. For there the righteous basis was established. There God could come as a result of Calvary, and as a result of that work completed, God can come out and he can forgive the sinner. He can forgive all his sins. He can put them away as far as the east is from the west. He could say, I will remember them no more forever. And the grounds of the precious blood and the eternal value of that once and for all sacrifice for sin upon the cross settled forever sin's tremendous claim. Glory to Jesus. Blessed be his name. And the Savior bowed his head. It must have been a wonderful day. Well, may that centurion smite his breast and say, truly this was the Son of God. We think of those tender hands that took that holy body down and they left it in the new tomb, and God put a seal of approval on the vastness of the work of the Savior at Calvary, of that finished work. For God raised him from the dead in mighty power. The Savior is alive today. He's able to save to the uttermost all that come unto God through him. He's risen. He's risen from the dead. And 40 days later, those disciples went out as far as Bethany, and they've got a sight they perhaps never thought they would ever get. That blessed man arose from their midst and ascended, and they watched him rise, the lovely Savior ascending in all the wonder of his person. And the heavens opened, and Christ went up, and Christ went in. The powers of darkness had to stand aside. The victor in triumph went up till he could go no higher. And he sat down at God's right hand in the glory. The great work of the cross. Oh, boys and girls and men and women tonight, there is salvation, God doth say. And in the person of Christ and in the wonder of the cross, there's a tremendous salvation and the blessing of forgiveness on offer to every soul that accepts Christ. You see, this dear woman away back in Luke chapter 7 where we read, she was coming in appreciation of the Savior. She appreciated him. I don't know all that she had understood concerning the Lord Jesus, but at the close of the chapter, remember, the Lord Jesus could say to her, thy faith hath saved thee. Isn't that amazing? Isn't that amazing? You know, there's some in our world tonight, and they're endeavoring to do whatever they can. They're seeking to turn over a new leaf. They're seeking to go to church a bit more frequently. They're seeking to try to do better, to pray more, perhaps to do penance, perhaps to pay their money. Oh, dear soul, tonight the great principle of Scripture is the just shall live by faith, and therefore being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus. And the Apostle Paul went forth to preach, and you remember that day, yonder in the prison at Philippi. The message was very simple, as he brought home the wonder of the risen Christ to that dear man. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. The work's all done, dear soul. The problem of your sin has been fully dealt with at the cross. Don't let the old devil deceive you. Don't you think tonight perhaps you're too bad and he won't take you, you've gone on so long. I want to tell you tonight, I have a brother sitting in the meeting, went on for nearly 55 years. I've been out in the north of Ireland for over 70 years. She thought there was no salvation for her. She had missed it as a young girl. She understood something of the great wonder of what transpired upon that cross, resulted in the outpouring, the overflowing hand of God in blessing, salvation, and forgiveness to the sinner who will put their trust in him. Oh, the wonders and the greatness of the crosswork of the Savior. The greatest blessing, the greatest words that a person can hear, forgiven. The greatest work, and they're finished, the Christ of God and what he accomplished upon the cross. Our last word. Forever. There's a man telling me he's been saved for 65 years. There's another man telling me he's been saved for 59 years. Time's moving on. Those dear brethren, if they were up here, and one of them will be, he'd tell you he's not going to be here for another 65. Maybe some of you boys, you think you have a long life ahead of you. You mightn't have too long. But there's one thing that each one of us have in common. You and I have got the great forever to face. One of two places lie out before you at the end of life's journey. It is sadly to say for those who never know Christ, who have never turned in repentance and put faith in Christ, it is hell. And eventually the lake of fire, forever, where the smoke of their torment shall rise up forever and forever, to languish in their mind to be haunted, to know the story of the cross, to have heard men preach their hearts out and long to see you turn and receive the Saviour. And you've gone on unrepentant. And you say, I will not trust him. I do not accept what he has accomplished upon that cross. I do not believe it was for me. I do not believe it wasn't enough. Oh, dear soul, tonight, remember, forever, forever and forever. When a few years are come, said Job, I shall go the way of all the earth, from whence I shall not return. But you know, one of the greatest wonders to me is this. I come to the close of this wonderful book of Revelation. And I read those tremendous words that they shall reign with him forever and ever. That lovely man who left heaven, that lovely man who sat in the house of Simon the Pharisee, and poured out his heart and his mind and his love towards Simon and towards that dear woman who was a sinner. That lovely man who went to dark Calvary and undertook the great work of human guilt and human sin and suffered agonies untold upon that cross that we might be forgiven. I stand before you tonight, a sinner saved by grace, destined to reign with him forever and ever. Oh, the wonder of it, dear soul. God has tremendous purposes in his risen Son. He has great future for boys and girls and men and women who will trust the Son of his love. The unending ages of eternity, those ages to come. And the great wonder of it all is Wesley Barr, poor, weak and worthless, the finest and bum, trusted Christ on the 16th of December, 1983, put his confidence in the risen Christ who had borne his sins in his own body upon the tree. And I'm destined to share in his coming day of glory. And I'm going to reign with him forever and ever. What's the prospects? Maybe your soul tonight, they're good for work, for employment. Things are looking up. The economy's good. Business is good. Maybe you're thinking of the next 50,000 you can make. Maybe the next 1 million. Things are looking good for earth. Maybe you look out and you see there's a partner, there's potential. There's life ahead. There's much to go in for in this old world. But dear soul, remember, never forget it. There's the great forever to which we're going. And you need to be ready. You need to be forgiven. You need to know Christ as your Savior. What is the apostle as he reminds us there? In 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 concerning the coming of the Lord. And that memorable moment, that tremendous moment, God's next great mighty moment for earth. The return of the Lord Jesus to the earth to call home the blood-bought bride. To be forever with the Lord. What about it tonight in this gospel meeting? Are you going to reign eternally with Christ and share in the coming glory of the Savior? Are you destined for heaven and home? Are you destined for the future glory? What a Savior, dear soul. He longs to bless you. He stands with open arms. He's calling sinners to come. And he says, I'll not turn you away. Just come and put your confidence in me. I'll forgive your sins. I'll take care of you the journey of life. And I'll take you home to everlasting glory.